think is right and what Satan put in your heart to think is right, but it's what God says is going to prevail. Y'all still with me now? He says, look, he says, most gladly will I therefore glory in my infirmities. Now, Paul started, and he later on starts talking about, he said, you know, in verse 11, he said, I'm become a fool in glory. In other words, Paul said, I look foolish to everybody else. Amen. He says, look, he says, therefore take pleasures in my, wait, let me back up. He said, my grace is sufficient, and most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now,
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
From the book of Joel, chapter 2, verse 25, I want to continue this message this morning. God is not through blessing you. This message is so important to understand for the believer so that we never forget the faithfulness of God, how his mercy endureth forever, how just because we've fallen don't mean we have to wallow, how our God loves us in spite of us. This is a word today that if you're down, God wants to pick you up. If you're going in the wrong direction, he wants you to turn around. God wants you to trust him. And this word says, and I will restore the years that the locusts have eaten. The cankerworm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm. My great army, which I sent among you. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. My great army, which I sent among you. I want us to see how God is showing us that he has so much to work with, so much that he can command and call at attention and utilize for his judgment. How God, who is the creator of all things, have control over all things. And yet his chiefest creation, mankind, seems more than anything else he's ever made, seems to rebel and kick against and turn against and go against the one who's given him everything there is in life, including life itself. This scripture here, again, is one of these times in Israel history when Israel has backslid, when they have turned their backs against the word, the will, and the way of God, not surrendering nor submitting to the things of God. God is upset about how they are acting, but he uses the prophet Joel to give them a message. Now listen at this, because one of the things that I think is important is to understand how God wants us to know at any moment he could wipe us out. But his mercy, his grace, and his long suffering shows that life is in his favor. When we begin to look at this, we see in verses 1 through 11 how God commands an army of locusts to go down to the prescribed place that he has given them direction to, and to camp out there until everything is devastated. And these locusts take the command of the Lord so serious that they fulfill every bit of his desire in judgment upon his people, until God looks down and he sees how his land is ravished, how it is stripped, how it is marred, how it is devastated. And then he looks and he sees his people, which he has brought judgment upon, looking pitiful because they can't even help themselves. And so verses 12 through 17, God calls them to repentance. And I think I need to throw out again parenthetically that, my brothers and sisters, we don't have the liberty like the world to act like we don't know God when we belong to God. When we mess up, when we make mistakes, we ought to ask God for forgiveness. When we mistreat or mishandle our brothers or our sisters, we need to go to them and say, "Forgive me, I mishandled you, I mistreated you." But the word says, even if they don't go to you, if they offend you, you go to them. And let them know that their actions are not godly actions. And at the end of this, God is saying to Israel, you need to repent. Turn away from your wicked ways and live the way that I've called you to live. Verses 18 through 27 deals with the promise of God to restore the years that the locust have eaten. Now, I want to park out here for just a little while, because I hope, though we hear this word historically for Israel, pragmatically we take this word for us today, because the truth of the matter is this word does include us. This word is for us. We are in a similar situation where we've sinned and we've messed up, we've fallen short. We need to repent. We need to get right with God. Just because we belong to a church and we're on a church roll don't mean that we're on the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't mean that we've not made reservation for heaven, or don't mean that our reservations haven't been canceled. You see, we can turn away from God, walk away from God. And that's why in 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, listen, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sin and heal their land. What God is saying, true repentance comes not when I turn you around, but when you've got sense enough to know you're wrong and turn around yourself. God doesn't always want to have to whip you and beat you down to make you understand. The Holy Ghost, whom he's given to every believer, ought to hear him speaking. When we've messed up, the Holy Ghost counsels with us and lets us know by convicting us of our sin. Ain't nobody got to tell us it's wrong. We know it's wrong. When we thought about it, it was wrong. When we planned to do it, it was wrong. When we did it, it was wrong. When we kept thinking about doing it again, it was, y'all getting quiet on me. Why is it that you have to be caught in the act? Amen. The very act, Brother Johnny says. We sit here and act all holier than thou, all pious, like we've never sinned. And the truth of the matter is, we just ain't been caught. What we don't realize is all the phone calls we're talking about other folk, there's going to be something made about us. All the gossip about other folk is going to be made about us. All of the pitfalls dug for others, there's going to be something done for us. You got to realize God does not have to trip you up for you to realize you're walking out of his word and out of his will and out of his way. And you need to repent. See, that's one of the real and sincere reasons why we repent. Because we've hurt the heart of God and we know God is hurting. And we ask him for forgiveness and we get ourselves together. It amazes me how we're just going to heaven anyhow. Straight from the club. Straight from the boat. Straight from here, there, everywhere. Throwing our hands in the air just like we don't care. Oh, yes, it does. Like there is no standard for us to live by. And what's even worse, when we won't have the decency to help one another. Paul says, listen, you who are spiritual, if you really won't be right about this thing, bear one another's burdens. And those of you who really think you got it together, who think you're strong, who think you're right in God's sight, help your brother or your sister who's weaker or who has fallen. Show them the way, so that they can come into the fullness of God's righteousness. And so God calls them to repent. And because of that, he says, I'm going to restore everything. The locusts have eaten. Now there are four types of locusts in various stages, from full adulthood to the larvae stage. He starts off, and I just want to just throw this out to help you understand, because when you begin to see how devastating these locusts were, he sends a great swarm of locusts, so thick by the millions of them that they turn the noonday sky into what seems to be midnight. And people look up and they wonder, because all of a sudden the light is blocked out. But it's because it's that many locusts coming in. they make their landing in fields and in crops, in orchards, in vineyards, and they begin their devastation. They are the first and front line attackers. When they start eating, now listen to this now. He moves on to the cankerworm. So he moves from the swarming locusts to the hopping locusts. And that's where they can't get enough. And they eat all this, and they see something else, and they jump on that, and they get a little bit, and they jump over here, and they just jump it all over everywhere. And it just looks like confusion, mass confusion going on with the hopping locusts. But listen to this. There is a third level, which is called the caterpillar. And they are the stripping locusts or grasshoppers. They strip the bark, the nutrients, the life-giving substance out of the plant, all of its moisture, and everything that makes it worthwhile. So what they don't get in their eating, the sun dries up because there is no protection. But then there is a fourth stage called the palmer. And the palmer worm is that little bitty grasshopper that's known for cutting, where he cuts down what's left behind so small that can't nobody but him do anything with. But he's also the little one that eats up the seeds that fall from the fruit that prevents the next year's harvest. Well, let me put it another way. The palmer worm, that's a baby worm, he starts off and eat all he can eat when he can't eat no more. The caterpillar come up, and the caterpillar take over, eats all he want. When the caterpillar can't eat no more, the cankerworm comes on up, and he eats all he can eat. But when he can't eat no more, here comes the locust, the full-grown grasshopper, and he heats up the rest. And between the four of them, they lick the platter clean. Listen to this. I need you to hear me. There's nothing now. There's nothing left. And there's nothing left for later. And all of this devastation comes from those locusts. Now, so all of the crops are gone. No hope for this year, but all the seeds are gone. No hope for next year. And so years pass by, and there is literally nothing there for them to survive on, like talking about, and everything diminishes to almost nothing. And God reduces man down to the level of his own sin. You see, what you don't realize is sin starts off fun and easy and light and like it's a game. But what you don't realize is the enemy is setting you up. The enemy is setting you up. Listen, and what you don't understand is he got little demons to handle little things. But for those who got a little more word, he got bigger demons. And then those who got a little more, he has larger demons. Until he gets up to the best of what he has to offer. And listen, all of it starts with sin. Not that somebody else has done to you, but what you've done to yourself. And here's the problem. Most times you don't realize it till it's too late. It was only after this great devastation has hit them. My God, what will we do now? After they've repented, they repent, but what do I have left when everything is gone now? What started off as a little flirtation ended up in adultery, losing your wife, losing your family, losing your job. Are y'all hearing me talk today? I could keep on going through one example after the next example, but it doesn't start off heavy. It starts off light, and before you know it, everything is gone. And then when it's really gone, and all the folk you thought you had as your friend, we're trying to tell you, I can't help you because I'm looking for help myself. And that's where God reminds them, I'm not through blessing you. What shouting news. When you know you don't deserve it and yet you are blessed. When you know you deserve nothing but his damnation and judgment, and yet he steps in and says, nah, I'm going to bless you, pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on higher ground. So my brother, my sister, listen, thank God he loves us with an everlasting love. See, if the love wasn't everlasting, he couldn't do it. If the love wasn't everlasting, he wouldn't do it. But in spite of us, when we are unlovely, he still loves us. You know how it is. Sometimes we don't love ourselves. We get mad with ourselves, let alone other folk. But God loves us with an everlasting love. And so he says, I'm going to fix what the locusts have eaten. Now, almost in every area of life, everything that's been taken away, everything that's been stored can be replaced in some way, some shape, some form, another. Everything but time. And notice what his promise is. And I will restore the years, time that the locusts have eaten. Now, my brothers and sisters, the world has discovered you can't back time up. You can't relive time. The best that you can do when you realize you've messed up with time is try to make up time. Try to take what you got left and make it better. You cannot go back and do what you should have done at first, because first is gone. What you have now is what's left. And what you understand, you've heard the saying before, you never have a second chance to make a first impression. Once first is gone, time is gone, it cannot be reclaimed in that same sense. So here are three things you can do that I suggest according to the text and understanding what God was saying in how he would restore the years. The first thing that most of us miss is the fact that we recognize, or we don't recognize, that more than anything we have, God loves us. Everything he's given to us are gifts and presents. But listen, the most important thing to God is you. The intimacy, that's number one. Intimacy with God, intimacy with God. God wants you to love him and to share intimate moments, telling him your heart and your thoughts, spending time with him, finding out what he wants you to do, becoming acquainted with his purpose for your life, trying to understand better how can you walk for him, talk for him, live for him, making it clear that you desire the things of God. And the Bible tells you he'll give you, if you delight in him, the desires of your heart. He just wants you. And too many of us want what he's got and not him. And what we don't understand is if we would just fall in love with the giver, the gifts will keep on coming. I've said that many times before, but we rather get caught up on the gifts. And listen, whenever the giver finds out that you only want the gifts and not the giver, the gifts stop coming also. God, listen, wants you to be closer to him than anybody else in the world. He didn't want mama, daddy, husband, wife, girlfriend, boyfriend, sister, brother, friend, or friend. He don't want anybody closer to you than him. He wants you to be able to say, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee, God. He wants you to have that desire for him so much that you don't make a move without knowing how he feels about it. When you're making your plan and your schedule, listen, I gotta check with the Lord on this, or I'll get back with you. It's not definitive until he says so. You know, you don't just say you're gonna do this and do that. You got, if the both of you say, if the Lord says the same, I'll do this or I'll do that, you begin to realize I belong to God. And if I belong to God, then everything about me belongs to God. My decisions belong to God. My love belongs to God. My money belongs to God. My talents belong to God. Everything about me belongs to him. So intimacy is what he wants first of all. He did all of this just to get their attention. Somebody be like, look, Lord, you don't need to take all that to get my attention. Look, you ain't got to take all my stuff and do all of that. Just call me. Yeah, well, I've been calling you. You ain't listening. Now, why does God want you to have intimacy with him? Listen to this. Because everything else is temporary. Everything else. Everything you can see and touch down here, feel down here, is temporary. It was meant for a reason, a season, or a lifetime here.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you. and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the